listener production.
On today's edition of Footy Talk, we discuss Peter Wright, the Saints, are the Giants set for a dynasty, and the one man that is the key to the Pies' resurgence. That's all up next. You're listening to Footy Talk, your place for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. And as is the case every Tuesday, we look to set the agenda and analyse the big topics as I look across the table at my great mate Nick Riewoldt. Hello, Roo. Nice to be on with you. Give us straight off the top your big thought of the week.
Oh, well, it's hard to go past the best team in the competition at the moment, the Greater Western Sydney Giants. Remember about, seven or eight years ago, we were talking about them winning three of the next five and being this unstoppable force that had ruined the competition.
I think our mate, Matt Rendell, I reckon he said something like they'd win the next seven. I think there was a quote somewhere along those lines.
Seven next premierships, they were going to be absolutely unstoppable. I think finally, and this is because Leon Cameron did a great job. He got him to a grand final. You know, 2017 was arguably 16 when the Bulldogs beat them in the prelim was arguably the year. But I just feel like now, you know, these guys are what are they? Probably 10 years into their career, almost 10 years, the Kellys, the Whitfields, the Greens, the Canelio. And that nucleus is now supported by a bunch of kids. And they look to me in Adam Kingsley to have been harnessed in a way that suits them as well as they've ever been coached. So I think we are finally at that point in time now where as much as we thought they were going to destroy the competition, they are on the cusp of doing it because they look to me so clearly and above the best team in the competition. And the one thing they always seemed to rail against was a lack of role players because they had so many talented young kids that were all, you know, first round picks that came in and they all wanted to be the star. But all of a sudden, they've got a balance from top to bottom of stars and role players. And it is just humming absolutely beautiful and beautifully and coached by a guy that we know all too well, Joey, in Adam Kingsley, who values role players amongst above everything else.
It's a great call, Rui. This could be the start of a dynasty. Now, just to back up your point, I had a look on Sunday when I was getting ready for first crack. The Giants team that played on the weekend were either the third or fourth youngest team in the competition. The youngest. They are one of the youngest sides going around. It is scary how good they are. Like, we're only just starting to see Aaron Cadman, the pick number one, just starting to scratch the surface. Finn Callahan hasn't even got anywhere near scratching the surface yet. You could argue they've got the best defender in the competition in Sam Taylor, the best forward in the competition in Toby Green, who started slowly, but they might have the Coleman medalist by the end of the year in Jesse Hogan. And Tom Green is the favourite to win the Brownlow medal. Like, and everything else around them, this could be the start of a dynasty. Maybe, as you said, 8 or 9 years later than we all predicted it could happen. Good call. Good start.
The attrition of losing a lot of the players that were kind of on the fringe, you know, the Jack Steeles of the world that have gone on to be really good players is you end up with Tom Greens. You end up with Aaron Cadman. So you end up with all of these picks that you're able to leverage into real key draft collateral, and we're seeing it now. So very, very exciting time for the Giants.
They have no weaknesses in their game.
Joey, what do you got for us?
Well, my thought of the week might be slightly controversial, and I'm not sure whether you'll come with me, but just thinking about the weekend's footy, and this was off the back of Peter Wright, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but just watching, first of all, watching Mason Wood on Thursday night and how sickening that collision was, and then seeing what happened to Harry Cunningham in that situation with Peter Wright, and even Stephen May going back and having three cracked ribs and whatever the talk is about, a cracked vertebrae, like pretty dangerous sort of stuff. In an era right now, really, where there has never been more focus on players' health and safety, particularly around that head and concussion, is it time that we start asking players to look after themselves more and try and eliminate putting themselves in that situation to get seriously hurt and not go back with the flight of the footy for the sake of one contest in a game? To protect themselves, because the game's trying to do as much as they can at the moment, but we know that you can't do everything. But can players help themselves a little bit more, and we as a footy community accept if a player doesn't? So you're over there in the States. Think about right now in the NFL. A quarterback takes off, and instead of trying to push for those extra 2 or 3 yards, we all accept he slides and avoids contact so he doesn't get hurt, doesn't risk injury, and he gets up and takes the next play. Should we start to have the conversation about evolving and going, we understand that players maybe now need to pull out of that contest for their own health and safety, which is far, far more important than one contest on a footy field. You've got three boys coming through. You are one of the toughest ever played. I'm one of the most courageous I've ever seen. We've got mates that have got CTE, we think, you know, issues and are struggling post-football. What would you suggest with your three boys or in regards to that comment of mine?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of layers to it. Clearly, yeah. when you bring children into it and the impact of concussion, I mean, you could make the argument that it's never been safer to go back with the flight. As a key position player, that was kind of my thing. I'll put it back onto you as, because I was never really known for my ground ball prowess, Joey, but would you say the same thing about putting your head over the ball? Because we see just as many guys get cleaned up putting their head over the footy as we do going back with the flight. So should we be saying, don't put your head over the ball as well when it's your turn?
I think that we are now protecting players with their head over the ball more than ever. But they can't really protect them from a collision if you've got your eyes going back with the flight of the footy, whether it's, I mean, Peter Wright won, and we'll touch on that, but even if he didn't brace and he put his arms out, that still could have been an elbow into the back of the head of Cunningham. I mean, it's just a thought, the thinking we are talking about players' safety for the sake of one contest in a game. I mean, we grew up under the era of it's your turn to go, you've just got to go, you just have to. Now we're starting to go, well, do you really? Do you really, for your health and safety for one contest? It's just an interesting, I think, a bit of a juncture of where we're at in AFL footy, it feels like.
I think players have always had the choice. And I think more often than not in those situations, I would say the majority of players have probably always chosen not to go. But, you know, you just don't necessarily notice it. There are the ones where I think when it looks the worst is when you do go and you don't quite
then
go properly,
you
know, then you pull out. So I think the ability to make the early decision, I mean, there are a million times in a game of football where you can run back recklessly with the flight of the ball. But most players, like I would say almost on every occasion, choose not to do it. But it's the one where you're kind of caught right in the middle of the do I or don't I, where if you do and you only half commit to it, that's where it can look pretty ordinary. So look, I think the game is as safe as it's ever been for players going back with the flight. We are more educated into the ramifications if it goes wrong, but I'm not sure, you know, I think Harry Cunningham, given his time again, he would go back with the flight. I think Mason would, you would do the same thing. I would encourage my children to be brave on the field, and I would just hope that they were coached and had, you know, a level of self-preservation that meant they, you know, because there is a skill in protecting yourself in that action as well. So that they were coached, you know, adequately to be able to protect themselves. So look, I still think maybe this is old school. I still think there's a badge of honour in going back with it or putting your head over it.
Yeah, nah, fair enough. It's just the thought of the week. That's all it is. We've thrown it out there. So while we're sticking on to that topic, the Peter Wright discussion has been a big one. I was on record on Sunday night saying, I think the 4 weeks for me, I find a bit harsh because we've been out there, Rui, and you understand at the split second, and it's almost that situation with Peter Wright, at the very last second, he had his eyes on the footy the whole way, and once he knew contact was coming, he chose to protect himself first rather than go the ball. I understand now the goalposts have shifted with concussion and where we're at, and he probably has to get a suspension. But he's 4 weeks for that too harsh because all of a sudden that's a long stint. I mean, that's what Tom Stewart got a couple of years ago for running past the ball and cleaning up Dion Prestia. That was some of the bigger acts. And I know we've evolved, but for me, there is still a difference, and I've always said it, between electing to bump and bracing for contact. And when you slow it down, people are saying, oh, he chose to bump. Well, you've been in that situation a million times when players are running at each other that fast and at the last second the collision's coming, you're not sure how you're going to react. It's instinctive. Yep. It's human nature. And unfortunately, he's going to cop a suspension. What's your take on the 4 weeks, though, that's being offered to Peter Wright at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's excessive. I don't think he chose to bump at all. I think in that situation, he was contesting the ball. So he is running in to mark the football or to make a contest. He's got his arms in a position to mark the ball on his chest. And then at the very last second, it's not a decision. It's an instinct.
Yes.
And I don't even know if he was trying to brace. I think he was trying to get out of the way.
He did, if you're watching. He almost goes around Harry Cunningham.
He tries to slide around him. And again, this is where like a send-off rule, I think, is – is really, really difficult in relation to concussion is because we're like, what are we, 3 or 4 days post, and we're still debating whether it's a suspendable offence or not, let alone whether he should be sent off in the heat of the moment. I think he'll get a suspension. The only caveat on it all is, what was his alternative? Well, his alternative was to put his arm out to spoil at the very, very last second, but it was so bang bang. He wasn't late. It was so bang bang, instantaneous, that I don't think he had time to make that decision. This is just one of those ones where he's going to pay an unfortunate price, and I think he's unlucky. Yeah, I think 4's probably excessive. I don't think there was any malice in it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Even the spoil, I mean, he thought he was going to take a chest mark right up until there's 2 frames before the ball actually arrived, and you can see it in the real slow motion. So it was some of the commentary has been very interesting around it. Hey, let's chat the Saints, because there's been all the talk after Thursday night about Collingwood going zip and 3, and rightly so, the reigning premiers. But what about the Saints? What did you make of it? I went with a big call prior to the game saying, I feel like Max King is like this close to ripping a game apart. Like, he's been very good, right? He's had some very good games, a very good season. Hasn't yet got to the promised land, I think Saints fans are hoping, that can carry the Saints to a top 4 team and be a premiership contender. He looks like he's so close. And again, on the weekend, he had moments where it was like, he can rip this game apart. Didn't just quite, but what did you make of the Saints and Max King?
On the Saints, first and foremost, is I love the speed. It's there. It's clear. They're rock hard fit. It's a hallmark of Ross Lyon teams that he generally has them in pretty good shape. Look to be playing a really selfless brand of footy too. And I love the injection of, Liam Henry and Wanganeen Miller off half back just looks awesome. He's taken another step. So I think if you're looking at it objectively, that organic growth that you wanted to see from the kids that was going to take them that next step from Philippou and from Winhager, his role on De Goey, I don't necessarily think he's going to be a star, but I think he can be a star role player within that team from week to week. He just he doesn't get beaten, if that makes sense. And then Wanganeen Miller, I mentioned. So that growth there from the kids, I think they're being well led. And, it's exciting, a good balance. And then Max King, you just hope from a St Kilda perspective that he gets off this week, because continuity is going to be the key for him. He hasn't really had it at any point in his career yet, and I think that's what it's going to take for him to have that 60-goal season where just every week he looks like threatening.
No, I agree. I think that they've probably not surprised me a little bit. I thought they'd make the 8, but you start to think, gee, if they've got this attitude of why not us and the sky's the limit, that they tick a lot of boxes now. Like, they might not have the biggest names in defence, although Callum Wilkie is an All-Australian and a star, but they have a good a system as anyone behind the ball. The midfield has always been a little bit of a question mark, but now they've got some point of difference in there. I maybe think with Wanganeen Miller playing so well off half-back and Riley Bonner, a beautiful kick as well, maybe Sinclair can spend a bit more time as an inside mid to give them that point of difference alongside Windhager and Steele. Steele is back to his very best too. And then the forward line is functioning really nicely. And Mitch Owens and Filippo haven't really quite even got going to the levels that they've got in them yet as well. So plenty of boxes to tick with this Saints side, and we'll look forward to keeping an eye on them as the year goes on. Hey, still plenty of other news I want to get through too. We might do it in real talk, shit talk. We want to chat the Cats. We want to chat the Pies and plenty of other footy still to come. If you are listening on Spotify, please hit the bell to be notified when we drop a new episode. This is Footy Talk. If you do want to get involved, please send us a message on Instagram at footytalk_pod. We're going to play a bit of real talk, shit talk, with through a couple of topics. Rui, where would you like to start?
I'll start with you, Joey. So the Cats midfield, we put it out there before the season started that we thought they could contend again, but their mids, few people, a bit of a concern on the mids. Are their midfield strong enough to keep them as a contender this year?
Yeah, it's shit talk, those that think they're not. So I think it was a bit the old Ross Lyon fingernail deep analysis, Rui, to just look at the names in the midfield and say, oh, they're not good enough. If you have a look at Geelong's numbers over the last, even the last few seasons, they've always been a strong contest ground ball team, always. And their clearances, they've always been able to score from clearance. It doesn't matter they don't have the biggest names in there. They're professional, they're hard, they're tough, they strip opposition, they're strong over the footy. They are effective as a midfield. So they might not have the biggest names. We agree with that. I mean, Dangerfield is going to miss a few weeks, but when he's fresh and fit, he's still as good as any inside mid in the competition. So it doesn't matter they don't have the biggest names. They will stack up against most midfields throughout the whole season because of how they play and how they go about it there as a group. So I think it's shit talk that maybe that they're not as competitive as some of the top teams. Hey, I want to ask you about Collingwood. We need to touch on them. They are not winning the flag from Zip and Three. Real talk or shit talk?
That's shit talk, and I'll give them an out or at least a chance by saying that I think it's an effort and hunger issue that's pretty evident to all of us watching, particularly defensively. That's where it manifests and becomes obvious. The reason I think they still have a chance is because of the man that's driving the bus, and that's Craig McRae. And if anyone understands from a hunger perspective what it takes to be able to back up, it's him. He played in three in a row at Brisbane, so he understands it from a player's perspective. And then he was a part of a Richmond team that won three out of four. So he's seen it from a coaching circumstance as well. So they need that penny drop moment. They need that epiphany where they actually are able to say, you know what, we actually are off. Because I think quite often as a player, you think you're trying, but you're not really sure until the feedback provided that you think you're trying, but you're not really trying. There's trying and there's last year's grand final trying. They're not at that level. So I still give them that chance that they can get that rectified and storm home and do some damage later on in the season. But time is an issue for them. Last one for you, Joey, or have you got a point on that?
No, I was going to ask you, so do you think you can flick a switch with effort? So I think we all agree. I'm watching them run back in transition defensively, watching their contest stuff. It is slightly off. Do you think you can just flick a switch, that there's an epiphany moment and it's like, bang, yep, we're back? Or is it a bit harder to do then that, because they've got the premiership medallions, that, you know, the season might be a bit harder because challenges are coming at them from everywhere. Can you flick it?
I think it's possible. Yep. Yeah, I think it's possible. But it's hard to do. That's why we don't see many teams go back to back. So I'm not prepared to rule them out yet, because like I said, I think they've got enough, you know, subject matter expertise about what it takes to go back to back with some of the people involved in the club that I'm not prepared to write them off just yet, but it's hard to do. It is hard to turn it around. I gave my opinion on this one earlier, but I'm interested in your take, Joey, on the send-off rule. Do you think we need it? Is there a place for it in the game?
Yeah, that's shit talk. I don't think so at all. I think that our game is grey enough as it is. I've seen so many times where umpires on field have reported a player and it's been thrown out afterwards. So I don't have faith in the umpires in a game situation to decide what should be a send-off and what's not, because there's a lot of history now of them, yeah, making a report and then it getting thrown out because you look at it after and be like, what was that for? So I don't think it's necessary. That's why we have the sub. So if a player unfortunately gets out with concussion, the whole reason of having that sub is to keep it fair. So this whole notion that you need to take off your player that may have caused the injury to another opposition player, I don't think it's necessary in our game. It never has been, and I don't think it ever will be. Hey, that's all we have time for, Rui. It's a massive game Thursday night, Brisbane v Pies. You take quickly on that one, because if Collingwood do lose and go zip four, that's a massive mountain to climb. But if Brisbane goes zip and three, I mean, they are still trying to chase that premiership. Just quickly, how do you see that one? Who you leaning towards at this early stage?
I've not much confidence in my selection, but look, I still like Collingwood. I still think Collingwood. I just back them in when their backs are against the wall. I think they've shown greater mental resilience over a longer period. Brisbane, to me, just when the pressure's at its greatest over the, not just this year, the last few years, they've wilted, as opposed to Collingwood, who have, you know, we know their history with close games and high stakes moments. So I'm going to go with the Pies.
All right, good work. Hey, love your stuff. Great to see you again. Remember, tomorrow is a rose between two thorns. Abby Holmes alongside Jack Heverin and Nathan Jones, and they will look at it from a player's point of view. Until then, enjoy your Tuesday. Listener.